It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Come on, Pelican.
124-106. That's going to be your final. And the Warriors with a resounding victory. A 38-point difference from the 11:42 mark of the second quarter. But Golden State was dead in the water, down 34-14. And the Warriors get at least a split of these two home games against New Orleans.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. 888-957-9570. How about Lindy Waters III? How about Buddy Buckets in the fourth quarter? How about the Warriors rallying from a 20-point deficit? You heard it right there from the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, right there, right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors were down 34-14 early in the second quarter. Chase Center sounded like a mortuary. It was a funeral. It was like, damn, they have no offense. Where are they going to generate offense from? And Lindy Waters III comes in and starts lighting up. And next thing you know, the Warriors outscored the Pelicans 73-48 in the second and third quarter. They win all the hustle stats. We'll get into it all here. But a nice victory for the Golden State Warriors without Stephen Curry, without Andrew Wiggins, and without De'Anthony Melton. And we'll get to the starter stuff. We'll get into everything with Kuminga. We'll get to the World Series and how some of these fans just need to chill. And I wish Mookie Betts would have just, you know, slap somebody with his glove because that was out of pocket. Come on, Yankee fans, do better. Do better than that. But anyway, good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard ship. What a win for the Warriors. And it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. It's a hell of a store. We'll talk to Anthony Slater about the win. We'll talk to Anthony Slater about the game today against the St. Pelly Pals. But a nice comeback victory over the Pelicans. I got so many numbers that I don't want to get into. So many plays I want to get into, Shasky. That would have me alive, man.
So many thoughts from yesterday's game. You know, I put the little guy down, and I come into the first quarter. I'm watching the game. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a rock fight for the Warriors offensively. Ooh. They could do nothing. And then at the end of that quarter, they had multiple possessions that were just hollow. And you look up, and they got 14 points. And I'm like, this is probably going to be a rough night. And for them to flip the switch the way that they did, and there was a variety of characters. You referenced Lindy Waters. I mean, this guy was, he was a revelation yesterday. Is he a starter? I don't know. He's definitely in the rotation. Like, this is a guy that needs to come in. Joey, let me know when you have the song. I kept thinking, as this guy is ripping confident threes left and right, going off the dribble, you know, hustling for loose balls, scrapping for rebounds, I'm saying, is this guy the smoke on the water that the Warriors Splash Bros definitely needed? Steph Curry. Well, now we have smoke on the water.
Who am I working with? Pauly Mac? No, I'm kidding. Shut up, Pauly Mac.
It is a classic song.
It is a very good song. I don't know if Lindy Waters is bumping this in this. I don't know if he's bumping this.
Well,
I would love to know what
Snoop
type of music.
Dog. You maybe. Want it? I got it. Dripping
maybe.
Like water.
Maybe. But the Warriors, the last time the Warriors won after trailing by at least 20 points was on March. Was it March? Yeah, March 28th, 2023, when they overcame a 20-point deficit against the New Orleans Pelicans. And I remember that game. That was when Draymond Green got into it with Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram. Kuminga had a solid game, and everybody credited Draymond Green with helping rally them back in that game. So, look, the Warriors, man, against the Pelicans, who took it to the Doves last year at Chase Center, blew them out. They're a bit different. No Jonas Valanciunas. Obviously, DeJounte Murray's out 4 to 6 weeks. Trey Murphy III, you saw him there on the sideline with a hamstring injury. They were rolling with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. And then, I don't know if Willie Green got him into a set. I don't know what they were doing. But you give the credit to the Warriors because this is what you can do. You control what you can control, right? The Warriors only turned the ball over 7 times.
That's incredible.
Actually, 8 times. 8 total turnovers, but 2 happened late in the fourth quarter in garbage time, right? So they took care of the basketball. You think about all the hustle points, points off turnovers. They forced 24 turnovers last night and scored 34 points off those turnovers. I mean, it was unbelievable.
You know, last night, there was a guy that, sticking with my water theme, should not go chasing waterfalls, and his name is Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan, I love you, pal. No, I do. I love you, pal. And I think that this obsession about starting.
Oh.
No. We need to have this serious conversation.
Oh,
no.
Oh, we do now.
Yeah, we do.
Oh.
This obsession about starting. If they're going to go with Draymond's wishes, which it like you have to acknowledge where you are in the pecking order of the organization. Like, I love Jonathan Kuminga, but this team is going to listen to what Draymond Green wants. Are they not? Draymond Green wants a five alongside of him to start the game.
You don't want to play it. Like, who wants Draymond playing the five all season long? They're going to wear him out.
Well,
and he's a small five now.
Look, there's a whole nother conversation about is TJD good enough to be that player all year long for X amount of... Like, that's a whole nother thing. But he wants a five alongside of him, right? And if that's the case, there are certain combinations, especially with Steph Curry out, where it's just... It's not conducive for Kuminga. And if you're looking at it, he comes in like about 7 minutes to go and then plays 15 straight minutes. 15 straight minutes. So I know you want to be part of the starting lineup, but the Warriors posted on their Instagram and on their Twitter, first five. And I thought it was one of the most genius things they can do. After seeing Shams Charania put benched in like, and I don't know if he creates the graphics. I don't know how much, you know, checks and balances he has on it. But anyone that saw the graphic, benched, Jonathan Kuminga, it's like, wait a minute. Like, he's not going to the bench never to return. He's not like a backup quarterback. He's not getting Anthony Richardson, okay? Like what's happening in Indianapolis. He's going to play. Question is, you know, what combinations? He plays 15 straight minutes in the first half. That might have been more than had he, like, started in a traditional lineup. And then he ends up with a season-high 28 minutes and a season-high 17 points. And what I thought, the most room in the lane for him to actually operate. So don't go chasing, I have to be a starter, I have to play the three. No, like, for his own good, you get any shot you want with that second unit. Any shot you want. Yeah, you should feel validated.
Feel validated by what?
Yeah, Bonte did have a point.
No, it's more. Just,
no, but I know why it matters to him. But I'm happy the Warriors put it out first five because it's really
about.
Do you
have the Kuminga sound from after
layers
the game?
Of combinations of fives?
I want to play the Kuminga sound because I've been trying it. It's not about validation, Shasky. I don't care about being right about this or being wrong. It's not the point of the exercise. It's what I try to educate people. When it comes to the NBA, especially with this team and this organization, when you have so many guys that could play, you can go through so many different combinations. Same case as last year when you had Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, and Dario Saric. You have so many different combinations you could go to that on any given day, hell, Steve Kerr's done this in the playoffs. He hasn't had one starting five throughout the entire playoffs, right? Think back to the first championship season. The first championship season in 2014-15. What flipped the series in game four? Bogut, you're going to go to the bench. And Iguodala, you're going to start. Kerr's going to play who gives them the best chance to win on any given night. And that goes for anybody not named Steph Curry. And so we saw it in the Sacramento series a couple years ago in the first round. Draymond Green gets suspended. He comes back game four. Guess what? We're going to go to the one big lineup. Looney, you're going to start. We're going to go Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, alongside Andrew Wiggins. Draymond, you're going to be our sixth man. So we fixate so much on who's starting. And I feel like I'd be preaching to the choir when it's like, hey, who's in the final five of the first half? Who's in the final five of the fourth quarter? Who's playing well? Like, TJD started yesterday, and he had mostly a forgettable game. It happens.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It happens. We got to stop fixating on, like, when I saw the alert, too, I was like, wow, bitch. And it made it seem like he wasn't even going to play.
That's what I'm saying.
And then next thing you know, he plays a season high in minutes. So my whole point is all I've tried to preach throughout the last 2 years when it comes to starters or bench. If you play well, you will get your minutes. If you play well, whether you start or not, you will see 25 to 30 minutes. And what happens yesterday? Kuminga gets rewarded with 28 minutes and 12 seconds.
But I don't think, okay.
Some guys care about it, but at the same time, you know, you talk to these guys, you have the meeting with them, you have transparency, you have communication. And what did Kerr say after the game? Here's what he said after the game about Kuminga.
Well, without Steph and Wiggs, I didn't want to start Trace, Draymond, and JK. I wanted a little more spacing, and I knew it would be a JK game. I knew he would play a lot because he's played well against this team. The matchups are good for him. And so I told him before the game, you're going to play a lot. It's just, this is just about combinations and, you know, getting a little more spacing on the floor to start. So all it is just shuffling the lineup to try to get the right five-man grouping on there. But without Steph and Wiggs, to me it didn't make sense to start the three bigs without those guards.
So it makes sense. So that happens, and everybody freaks out, and everybody's dumping on Kuminga, oh, man, this and that. Next thing you know, after a rough start to the game, it turns out to have a positive game. Like, so,
but I get the fans are a separate thing. Buy-in from that player is vital. Like, for him, I get everything you're saying. Like, the fans are going to lose their minds no matter what, right? But buy-in from the players, part of what made Bogut such a,
he bought in.
Well, no, but he bought into his role, and he realized he wasn't going to close every night, right? And, like, there was going to be occasions where he would, and there'd be a lot of times where he wouldn't. Part of what made Iguodala such a great player for the Warriors, he bought in that he could do whatever role Kerr asked him to do, he bought in. And so I now think that, like, the ball is in Jonathan Kuminga's court. Can you buy in on the role adjusting depending on what the lineups are and who's got it going and who doesn't? I think this is a big opportunity for him. Not only, and he referenced his own professionalism, but show your maturity, show your basketball IQ, show all those things that we know you have in you and buy in.
Here's what Kuminga said after the game with Zena Kata on NBC Sports Bay Area.
I mean, it's just a game of basketball. At the end of the day, we always got to stay professional. I mean, that's what we do. Just got to come out here every day and just play. Because that's what we choose to do every day. No matter what circumstance, no matter what's happening, you got to come here and just be a professional and play a game of basketball, play the game that you love, and go home. So it's that simple.
It's that simple. And I like the maturity. I like the growth from the young man. Just play basketball. And, you know, there's a lot on the line for Jonathan Kuminga is what people are not realizing there. There's a lot of built-in pressure. I've got to play well. I've got dollars and cents on the line. You know, my value's going up and down. You're playing. We saw what happened last year with guys, and the last 2 years, guys who are playing with contracts hovering over their heads. We see it in football. We see it in baseball when guys are in a contract year. So, you know what? Kuminga showed a lot of professionalism yesterday. It was off to a rocky start, but he came in there and played well. Another guy who played well. Brandon Podziemski, I thought his aggressiveness in that first half helped lead the Warriors back to that game alongside Lindy Waters III. And Brandon Podziemski, he's got a lot of heat on him. The kind of build off of what he did last year when he made all-rookie first team. And I thought he had a solid game, played a point guard role. Look, this was a very good win for the Golden State Warriors last night. A very good win. I don't know how good the Pelicans are right now. They've got injuries
I'll take it, yeah.
But you know what? The rally from 20 down. And look, the shot selection early on was bad. I get it. It was rough. But then you look up at the end of the day, and look at these first half numbers. Kind of reminds you of the Portland game last Wednesday. First quarter, the Warriors were 5 of 23 from the floor.
Wow.
2 of 13 from the three-point line. Scored 14 points and committed 4 turnovers. And then something clicked. And then Lindy Waters III came in. And then Pod started rolling. And then, as you know, in the second half, Buddy said, I'm going to come. Hey, how about that? Buddy started the game. Buddy Hield, that is. Started the second half. He came off the bench.
I know.
He came off the bench. This is what's, haven't we figured out? And that's another thing, too. Because I'm sorry to be long-winded here, Shasky, but I don't want to lose this thought. We do this with Shanahan, and we do it with Steve Kerr. What can Steve Kerr get some effing credit around here? What can Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, get some credit around here? He's pushing all the right buttons right now with a bunch of guys where he's trying to figure out, okay, who can I play here? Who can I play there? All right, he's been doing this for years, where if a guy's not rolling early on, hey, I'm going to bring you off the bench to start the second half. We're going with a new starting five to start the third quarter. He is not afraid to do that. And so I thought Steve Kerr was excellent. That offensive system yesterday looked pretty damn good, didn't it?
No, it did. So getting back to that first quarter lineup, the first five, if you will, right? It's tough when Pods isn't hitting from deep because you don't have a lot of spacing. And when you have, like, this is going to be something that they're going to have to balance out all year. It's why I don't love the Kuminga starting lineup alongside Wiggins, Steph Curry, Draymond, and TJD. I don't love it because TJD's not a shooter. Draymond's not a shooter, and Kuminga's not a great shooter right now. He's not. So now you basically have Andrew Wiggins and Steph Curry alone. And yesterday you saw it when you have Pods, TJD, and Draymond, the other two guys, it's important that they could stretch the floor. And Moody right now is kind of hit and miss, right? Like, teams don't honor him like that. He will hit it. Don't get me wrong.
I thought Moody was solid yesterday.
I like Moody.
I think
but
Moody was solid.
You see what I'm saying regarding the clunkiness? And so I do think it's really important that they have the appropriate lineups alongside TJD and Draymond and Steph Curry, and I believe Wiggins. So I think that other guy,
right?
I mean, I think Lindy Waters, Melton, these guys are throwing their name in the hat here. I mean, Melton's got to get healthy, clearly. I did Kuminga's best roles off the bench as a four, but again, it comes back to he's got to buy in. And the reason why I bring up he's got to buy in, when I saw the Shams report, my interpretation was like, oh boy.
Everybody's was.
It was that I think that I interpret that Shams got it from the Kuminga. Point of view of Kuminga's camp, crew, him, I don't know. And it's put in huge, bold letters. I was like, that felt very intentional.
But you know what? They're able to wash that away. And I think Kuminga is bought in. I think he's always been bought in. He just wants an opportunity to thrive. And you know what? He got that opportunity yesterday, and he played 28 minutes and 12 seconds. So, again, I think we got to stop fixating on who's starting at the five, who's starting to start the game, and who's playing well. It's all about playing well. If you play well, you will get minutes on this basketball team. And so Kuminga got 28 minutes. Lindy Waters, the third, who didn't start the game, ended up playing 30 minutes and 35 seconds. Pods played 33 minutes and 32 seconds. So
how about GP2? He played really well yesterday.
GP2, I think, has been giving the Warriors good sparks in the 8 to 12-minute range. And he's not getting a lot of minutes. He's playing 8 to 12 minutes, but two steals in the second quarter. How about that? Or, you know, picking up full court, being a thief, swiping, dunking. I mean, what a game yesterday for the Golden State Warriors. They roll over the Pelicans, down 20 early in the second quarter, 888-957-9570. Dub Nation, what impressed you last night about this win? Is this sustainable? Lindy Waters the third. You got a new shooter here? He said he keeps a strap on him. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to talk Warriors all day. We'll talk about the Dodgers, Yankees. Big win. Warriors improved to 3-1. They get their first home win of the season. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Chain. Valvoline changes your 15-minute drive-through oil chains. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Chain to change oil change to change. Check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
I like my Warriors.
Ball knocked away from Hield. Squirts right to Kuminga. Back nice. Cut. Waters down the lane. He hammered it down with a right hand. Nasty dunk by Waters, who's having an unbelievable night. 19 points for Lindy Waters.
Dub Nation, it's Lindy Waters. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Lindy. Got you a little podium game yesterday, and you balled out. You balled out, man. You showed up and showed out last night at Chase Center, going 8-13 from the floor, 3-7 from the three-point line. 21 points, the quick trigger, the driving, but how about the rebounding from Lindy Waters? Only 6'6". He's 6'6", folks, but he looks longer and bigger than that. He really does. He looked like he was 6'8 on the floor. 8 rebounds last night, balling for the Golden State Warriors. I believe those are career highs. Let me double check that. Yeah, it was a career high in rebounds for sure. Was it a career high in points? Career high tying for assists. Third time with 20 or more points. He has a career high of 25 with the OKC Thunder when he did it against the Atlanta Hawks back in 2022. So, Lindy Waters, man, have a night. Have a night, huh?
I can't believe Oklahoma City is so deep that they didn't have room for this guy, because he's a guy that's going to be in the mix with the Warriors all year. I don't know what his role is going to be, but he clearly threw his name in the hat and was like, yeah, his hat in the mix, and said, I need to be involved. I need to play.
So now we're playing 13 guys?
No, I don't think that's the case. Yeah, look, Kyle Anderson had 1,000 three-pointers that were wide open to him last night. And there were a couple that were like late shot clock ones that he had to hoist up. Didn't love that. That's a byproduct of teams sagging off him, and he's going to get that shot a lot. So they're going to have to adjust a little, but somebody's going to get left out. Actually, probably multiple somebodies at some point if they don't end up making any moves. Moody started the game. It felt like he went stretches without getting back in there, and I didn't.
17 minutes, 30 seconds. Yeah, that's
but
it.
But I didn't lose my mind about it, because I was like, I thought GP2 gave them just the right punch right when they needed it.
And you know what? Moody shot. He was 5 of 6 from three. I know he hit two late in the game, but his shot, it's looking quicker. Like his setup, his release, it just looks a little faster, a little more fluid for Moses Moody here. But the Warriors yesterday, and I love these stats, the last three quarters, they outscored the Pelicans 110-75.
Wow.
Points off turnovers and fast break points. I'm going to combine these two. Points off turnovers and fast break points. 56-11. Pel shot 54% last night and 41% from three and still get blown out. Why? Because the Warriors attempt 23 more field goals than the Pelicans. 23 more field goals to the Pelicans. Why? Because the Pelicans turned the ball over 24 times. And in the three wins. Pelican. Yeah, the three wins for the Warriors, they made 20, 20, and 21 made threes. So they're letting it fly. They were 21-46 yesterday from the three-point line after starting the game. What was their first quarter stat? Yeah, first quarter, they were 2-13, Shasky. So that means in the last two quarters, they were 19-33 from three.
Wow. Yeah, you're talking about the turnovers for New Orleans. I thought the ball pressure from GP2 and Pods and their ability to scrap and get down on the floor and go after loose balls. Even Lindy Waters went down for a dive for a ball. Like, those are the things this team is going to have to do if they want all the advantages. They're not the elite team of 6-7 years ago to where, you know, no, nobody dive, nobody get hurt. No, they got to scrap and fight and claw for everything. I thought Looney was really active on the offensive glass as well. I'm not sure if the numbers showcase that, but the limiting of the Warrior turnovers, Monte, is a big one. Yeah. You know, one, I'm looking at the stat sheet. I'm like, I don't remember the Moses Moody turnover. And then I look at Draymond, and Draymond's got zero turnovers. And I say, no, that was a great example. We had this conversation yesterday. He threw a pass to Moses Moody into double coverage that led him out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Moody gets credited for the turnover, but it was on Draymond, the point guard. Yeah. It did feel like, when Dre came off the floor, and I'm not making this about Dre, but I'm just saying, when he came off the floor, they put different combinations out there, and they started to get things kind of rolling again, and that was with a lot of overlapping lineups that had Kuminga in there, and I thought Kuminga was not his most elite, but I thought he was really good. I thought he was active.
Second quarter, Draymond went to the bench for a second, and they started to make their way. And they got back into the game. But they were down 34-21 with Draymond in the game. Let me see here, 36-24. And they finally pulled them. But they were down 10. They were starting to chip away when Draymond did go to the bench in the second quarter. So they were starting to get rolling there in that basketball game. But Kevon Looney, shout out to Looney, in four games, he's got 20 offensive rebounds. It's 5 offensive rebounds a game. You know, I'm not going to look at the leaderboard in the first week of the season because stats are going to be all over the place. But 20 offensive rebounds in the first four games for Kevon Looney. So 888-957-9570. Warrior fans, where are you at? Let's hear from Lindy Waters. Are getting an opportunity.
You know, it always feels good. I come in and do the work every single day, and just no matter if my number's called or not, I'm the same person. But, you know, it feels good to go out there and get a win, especially how we started out. You know, we down 20 or something, but just kept our eyes off the scoreboard and just focused possession by possession.
What about the second half surge?
Very contagious, exciting, exhilarating. You know, we started getting stops, started playing more physical on the defensive end, and we started rebounding and running. Next thing you know, we start flowing on offense, and guys start having fun, shots going in. So very contagious.
Very contagious yesterday. Then Buddy Hill. We get to Buddy Hill because, hey, this guy fascinates me, man. I was texting with Damian Barling and Kenny Caraway yesterday, ESPN 1320. The Utah Jazz are getting rolled by their Sacramento Kings, so they're feeling good. And Buddy Hield had to dribble drive with the layup in the fourth quarter. It was late in the shot clock. And I said, what? He's got that in his bag? And literally, Damian Barley calls Bonte, saved the highlight. We've never seen him do that in Sacramento ever. Well, this guy's a new man. And he's a new dude.
Why are you
smiling? He scored 19 fourth quarter points. He's a fun player to root for. Like, I liked Buddy Hield when he was coming out of Oklahoma. He fascinated me with the way he shot, his accent. I love it. And I've been in that locker room with him multiple times. So there was a game when he was at the Sacramento Kings. And Dave Yeager was the coach. And they were down 3 to the Warriors. And Yeager had pulled him. And I was like, what are you doing? He's rolling. He had benched him. I forget the game. It was 2018, 2019, whatever it was. He got pulled. Then all of a sudden, he got inserted back in to shoot a desperation 3. And after the game, Jason Jones and the SAC media was in there. And they were like, you know, why'd you get benched? And he was just like, he was over the situation. He was over it. And I was like, man, he's kind of getting the short end of the stick here. But he would speak his mind. And you can kind of see that in his pressers now. He just keeps it a buck. So to see him go on, like, he didn't have a great start. And he detonates for 19 in the fourth quarter. It's like, what? Now all of a sudden you're getting the post-game interview from TNT. Here's Buddy on Steve Kerr riding the hot end.
You know, you get to ride that wave, and Steve did a good job of handling that and balancing the guys out. And when you've got a hot hand like Lindy, who's deserving of a chance for this all training camp, he's been doing really well. You know, and Steve was like, I'm going to go with Lindy, and he ride that wave, and it worked out. And then it was my time to come in, and it worked out, you know. So that's being a head coach, knowing your players and knowing when the guy got the hot hand, ride it and need that spark, because we need a spark. And guys like Draymond and BP and Trace and everybody that played a part, you know, Kyle went 0-for-9, but he still had a big imprint on his game. Martin Zion making the right plays, making the right reads, defensive plays, all that. So just trusting it and just trusting your teammates. My teammates had my back from start to finish.
There are certain guys for certain areas, certain teams that just fit.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, they play a liberated style of sport, whatever it is. Soccer, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. Like, there are certain guys, like Hunter Pence now in retrospect, boy, he was like the perfect giant at the perfect time, you know, for this team, for that team, for this community, you know, his character, like, it was perfect. It was Pablo was perfect for those Giants. Buddy Hield was born to be a Warrior. He really was a bench warrior, not a starter. Like, you're so hesitant to give Buddy love.
Who?
You.
What are you talking about?
Because you're smiling and laughing. Like, I think that this guy has got like a most space-like quality to him.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm hesitant to give him love. Giving him love every single game of the season. What are you talking about?
I think he's perfect.
Born to be a warrior. I don't know about that, but he's right now, because I do have questions. I asked Lubman, I was like, get his college coach, Lon Kruger, on. Because my question is, I always say, okay, the same thing with Bob Melvin. I always like, why didn't it work out in other places? Maybe it wasn't fit. Nick Nurse is supposedly this great coach, right? Didn't play him in the playoffs except that one quarter. Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers play at the fastest pace in the NBA. They get up and down and shoot a lot of threes, and they traded him. So I was just trying to figure out, why did they trade him?
But nobody's
like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, hesitant to give him love. He's balling right now.
But isn't this what, like, great. I think the NBA and other sports have this as well. Like, the fit matters. And I think, like, him also taking ownership of his own career and maybe understanding where he's at in his career and embracing that opportunity and not, like, for example, we're talking about Kuminga. Kuminga views himself a certain way. At least that's my interpretation. Whether he does or doesn't, that's my interpretation of it. right? Maybe he needs to, like, I'm just thinking outside, maybe he at some point needs to, you know, come in line with what the Warriors' view of him is. I feel like Buddy has realized, like, all right, I'm probably not going to be a 35-minute-a-night guy every single night as a starter, as number two. But as a guy off the bench with the freedom to kind of just rip it and play wherever, I think he's adjusted, he's matured, and it fits. He's going to have bad nights, but I just think he fits.
No doubt, but I don't know why you're taking a shot at me. The thing that Fitz said last week, I think, is very interesting, and I want to get into that. And this is an underrated thing in sports. I was thinking about it yesterday with Brandon Ingram on the other side of Jerry Stackhouse on the bench, but something Fitz said about Chris DeMarco and Ron Adams getting to know Buddy Hield for Team Bahamas and getting to know him and having that little intel saying, you know what, this guy may be able to play in this motion offense. So I'm going to get into that on the other side because it is a good fit right now. Warriors beat the Pelicans 124-106, rally from a 20-point deficit. They were down 34-14 after scoring just 14 points in the first quarter. What a win. What a win for the Warriors yesterday. They'll do it again tonight against the same team, the Pelicans, before hitting the road for a big 5-game road trip. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Make me swim. Make me harder. Make me lose my breath. Make me water.
Hield. Right wing Kuminga. They look for Draymond. Zone defense now for the Pels. And Hield says, I can shoot over that. And hits about a 28-footer.
Yeah, he's got it going now.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hield. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
I'm trying to, buddy. I'm trying to. He's always smiling. You know, media day, when Buddy is walking around, he's shaking hands with everybody. He's just always smiling. Oh, man, what's up? The guy's just so damn happy. He's so damn happy. So the whole thing about the culture to go to St. Warriors, so far so good with the culture, man. The guy's like, I'm in basketball nirvana right now. I'm a basketball heaven. I don't know what went on in Sacramento. I don't know what went on in Philadelphia. Don't know what went on in Indiana. But the guy's been all smiles since he became a member to go to St. Warriors. So a nice fit for Buddy Hield so far. Very good game from him off the bench. He's been balling so far. Had the one dud, and at one point, yesterday he was 1 of 9. You're thinking, oh no, after going 3 for 14, what's going on with Buddy, man? Hot and cold. So, you know, is he going to hit 5 threes every night? Probably not. Is he going to hit 4 threes every night? Probably not. But you know what? He ends up yesterday going 7 of 11. And it's like, Steph who? You need to miss Steph?
I wouldn't go that far, but he was okay. Really good.
I'm joking. 21-46 yesterday. The Warriors in their three wins have hit 20, 20, and 21 threes. And again, the turnovers. When you cut down on that was the thing against the Clippers. They commit 21 turnovers. Last night, just 8 total team turnovers. Really 6 until they pulled all their starters. But they were sitting at 6 turnovers for a long, long time. Pelicans, 24 turnovers. Warriors scored 34 points off those turnovers. And so far this season with the Dubs, Shasky, they're winning all the hustle points. The points off turnovers, the rebounding, they're getting the 50-50 balls, they're scrapping, they're getting steals. That was another thing. They had 28 steals in the first two victories. Last night, the Warriors come up with 15 steals, including Kyle Anderson, who went 0-for-9 yesterday, but had 5 steals himself.
Does size matter when it comes to rebounding? Well, sure. I mean, obviously, there's
size
elements.
Size matters.
Exactly. Thank you. There's elements where you have to be able to have some size. You know, it's very difficult for Draymond Green to box out, you know, Victor Wembanyama, because he's just so large. But I think that if you're going to be a team that shoots from long range, you better be scrappy, because I have a belief, and it's a basketball truism. You know, you have like the Book of Barnett from back in the day. The longer the shot, the longer the rebound, right? And so there's going to be a lot of long rebounds, and long rebounds go to the hustle guy. They don't just go to the taller guy. They go to the hustle guy. And I just feel like the Warriors' hands are so much more active this year than they've been in years past.
No, they've been active all season long so far. GP2, all of them, man. 888-957-9570. Are you all bought in with this team right now? And what to make of the Jonathan Kuminga situation? Because it did take the pregame. And I wasn't at the game. I was off yesterday. Bully and I were off. It was a national televised game on TNT. I thought KB, Monty, and Fezzi did a great job, though. It was fun watching them. But the pregame buzz, as I got the alert about Jonathan Kuminga getting benched, I was like, phone just starts blowing up. I'm trying to figure out what's going on down at Chase Center. I'm reading everything going on. I'm thinking, damn, is this it for JK? It was a bit dramatic. And yet he plays a season high 28 minutes. So I don't know what to make of it. Does anybody else make of it? Is Kuminga a fit? Is this contract going to kind of just roam over his head all season long? Because it did seem like he pressed early. But next thing you know, pardon me, you see the second half. And this is one thing, JK, I don't think he gets enough credit for this. And he's shown this over the course of his first three seasons in the league. He'll struggle early, but as he acclimates to the game speed and he acclimates to the game planning, he acclimates to the opponent, he gets better and better as the game goes along. So, and that's been the case for the most part throughout his first 3 years in the league. So I thought we got a glimpse of that yesterday against the Pelicans, Shasky, that it was rough early. And then as the game went along, he started to find his rhythm. He started attacking the basket. He started making the right basketball plays, setting good screens, rolling to the basket, playing good individual defense, communicating on defense. And as the game went along, he got better and better and better.
The JK thing is going to be monitored all year long. His, you know, body language, shot selection, defensive effort, communication, you know, all those things are going to be monitored all year long. And look, I can't speak for him. I'm just speaking for myself. I think it's real easy for a lot of people to say, bet on yourself and go through it. I just know that for me, peace of mind to me and QOL, quality of life, for me, and I'm not an NBA player, just saying what my algorithm is, like that matters more than making every last possible penny at every single turn. We've had this conversation forever. This situation, the Warriors apparently, again, these are the reports, offered him, what, somewhere close to $30 million? He wants more than that. That's his prerogative. But you also are playing with a little bit of fire here in the sense that, you know, you denied the contract extension, and so now you're worried about how you have to play, and that's part of the peace of mind factor. This is going to continue to kind of play itself out. It's going to be monitored by everyone. I don't have a solution for what's going on here. I think business-wise, if we're talking raw business, the Warriors probably did the right thing for their business. I don't know if it's going to be the right move for JK personally and professionally. The season's going to play itself out. But when he doesn't get the start and then Shams Charania tweets that out like immediately and then it says benched on there, it's like, oh boy, you know, did he get that right from someone in the JK circle? I don't know, but the way it was presented by Shams made it like he wasn't even going to play. And then the report of Kerr last year and JK maybe not being on the same page from JK's point of view, you know, there's a lot of smoke.
I do want to know from fans, because it has been a topic of conversation. Does it matter to you who starts? Does it matter who starts to you? 888-957-9570. I've kind of been off this train for a while now. And I even go back to, I kind of learned this from Justin Labaugh, Coach Adam, Coach Tom over there at City College San Francisco. They've had one of the best junior college programs in the last 15 years and hasn't been close. Year in and year out. Year in and year out. What are they at? Four championships now? They're going for one for the thumb this year. They got a loaded roster. But just doing a public address announcing there, and they were loaded. Justin would start different guys. Some of his better players would just come off the bench. Those better players would finish games. Those better players would finish halves. And then you see it all throughout basketball where guys may start the first half. They may not start the second half. Like Buddy last night, he started a game. He didn't start the third quarter. He came off the bench because Lindy was rolling. And Buddy touched on that. Now, you have to have a buy-in. You have to win games. Because if you're not winning games, the guys start to get mopey. They start to get a little whiny. And all of a sudden, they're just kind of sulking. But, you know, does it matter? I want to know from the fans. Yeah, does it matter to you, really, who starts? Or is it more about the combinations that you want to see? 888-957-9570.
You've never played with anyone who, like, it really matters what their role or their
absolutely. Yeah. We all have there's always a crybaby.
Yeah. Well, maybe not necessarily cry. They just feel more comfortable. Like, I hear you on the crybaby part. There is always a crybaby.
I mean, not crybaby, but it's a little strong. But, you know, they're whining and they're kind of mopey or whatnot.
They want it. Like, there's always that one individual that wants you to personally invite them to the party, right? They want to feel wanted. Like, it's this weird thing, right? Not everyone is that way. again, I'm just going off of what I feel. I feel like it matters to Kuminga. I hope it shouldn't, and this is why I wish he would have took the extension, because then he'd have his money one way or the other, and this wouldn't be this tug and pull, which I think is natural. It's like the natural part of, hey, I have a lot of money on the line here. Like, I get his prerogative. Like, I really do. But I also see the bigger picture of the Warriors' prerogative. Right. And, you know, I tend to side with the teams more than the individual players 9 times out of 10, because I want to see the team win.
I mean, on this team, you're not going to get your numbers because you're so deep. So even if you do start, it's not like you're going to get... Like, what is the field goal attempts J.K. is going to average this year? No idea. So I still think... I'm just kind of laughing at the comments. I'm wearing this big old jacket. People say they can see steam coming out my mouth, like we're doing a radio show in 35 degree weather.
Like it's the ice ball.
By the way, the Penguin. Somebody brought up the Penguin. Penguin's a great show. Great show on HBO Max.
Next week is the Top Hat episode.
What's the Top Hat?
Well, he famously puts the top hat on that he's most known for.
Oh,
spoilers.
Thanks
well, no, that's the name of the God. Episode.
Oh, I didn't even look at it yet. You know.
Well, they give you a preview at the end.
Back to the other birds, the pelicans, if you will.
Come on, pelican!
Come on, pelican, fly. Would you give J.K., whoever pays J.K., whether it's the Warriors or any other team, you're going to be paying him for his potential. Potential to be great. Because you're not going to see the finished product this season.
Probably right,
he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
So you're banking on his future, you're betting on his future. So whatever money he gets, the stats this year is not going to do it justice. You know, he may average 15 points a game. He may average 14 points a game. But you're going to be betting on his future, saying, I believe this guy could be a future all-star or close to that. And so that's how you're going to pay him. So whether he starts to come off the bench, it's just, how does it look? Is he bought in? Is he a professional? And I'm going to play this again. He sat there with Zeta Kane after the game on the court, and I thought this was one of the more professional.